And as lives change, it really ignites enthusiasm. You know, because a lot of times we can go to church for long periods of time and not see any lives change. It's almost like we don't expect lives to change. And then, but when we start to see it, it gives us, it fortifies our strength and our faith.
And during that phase too, the priests, often clergy, are seeing for the first time what it likes to lead out, what it's like to lead out of a team, and having people around him that share his vision, and what a load that is off their shoulders sometimes, because they're not the only one having to keep everything in their head and make all the decisions. So there's a euphoria in that too.
Welcome to the Huntley Leadership Podcast, helping leaders be a positive catalyst in the people they support, the organizations they serve, and the communities they live. This podcast will make you think, laugh, and grit your teeth with new determination to make your parish or business a place of transformation, passion, and purpose. If you're still breathing, you are powered for impact.
If your church is intentionally seeking to be missional, you're going to go through different phases as a leader. And those phases are going to demand different things out of you, your team, and your parish. That's what we've witnessed over the years in coaching and helping parishes go on that journey. It's always sad for me when somebody stops partway through and or gets transferred. And as parishioners, you know how hard that is. Lorraine McCarthy and I were in Australia on a ministry trip. And this episode is kind of interesting. It's kind of a coffee side chat because we were doing some filming for a bishop and his pastoral plan when we did some filming for ourselves. I think you're going to enjoy today's episode. It has a very different feel about it. If you're just joining us for the first time, welcome. God bless you. As we record this, I'm in Australia again with Lorraine McCarthy, and it's been fun. This is our third time doing ministry in Australia, and we're in Wollongong right now. What's it like? What are you seeing? It's been really fun to be here with the people, with the Bishop Brian, who's invited us, and the team. What's been your experience so far? What are you seeing?
One of the things that's really struck me is the progression of people's enthusiasm for renewal over the last few years. Yeah. So when you first came out, the questions were different. I think people were not convinced of the need for renewal, but I think maybe time, people becoming more familiar with the possibility and their hope building a little bit more, but also post-COVID and the drop in the number of people who are coming to Mass now, I think there's fewer and fewer people in our church that would say there's no need, there's not a need to do anything. And I'm really noticed at this time the increase in interest, the increase in people asking really good questions, and really we're not convincing them anymore. They're convinced that we need to do something, and now they're trying to work out how
the problems that they're facing as they try to do it.
Experience?
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. And I think part of that too, like, because you were really on the ground right, like, for a long time with Alpha in a Catholic context for Australia, and then bring Divine Renovation to Australia in terms of the book, and really excited and bringing Father James over. And so you been on the ground watching this progression of thought from these very faithful people who love Christ and the church. But what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, culture's changed, things have devolved in some ways, and the need has made itself quite evident and obvious. And that's not just in Australia, that's globally this is happening. And so, you know, that's, you know, yesterday when we had a full day yesterday in terms of the work we were doing with the diocese, and I found the question and answers far more fun than my presentations, actually.
Because that's good, weren't they?
Yeah.
Asked good questions.
Really good questions and sincere questions, because going on renewal is challenging, not because of the content, not because of the idea, but because of personalities, right?
True.
Like we're, you know, it's like going somewhere with the kids. They get all excited for a vacation. They get in the car and they tear each other apart. You know, they're happy for a little while. Now they're not happy. And not comparing the church to kids or anything, but just to say that personalities are sometimes challenging to deal with, and people have different needs and desires and perspectives and preferences. And as you're leading into that, it creates problems, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think one of the wonderful things in Wollongong is that they've been on this renewal journey quite intentionally for a while now.
Yeah.
And they are starting to discuss, like they had some early wins, some of them, and now there's kind of the gritty of getting into how do we continue this, you know, working towards sustainable fruitfulness. And I think they're starting to realise this is a really long haul. And I think their questions reflected that. Like, how do we keep doing this?
Yeah. A lot of wisdom in those questions, isn't there? And that's one of the things that you and I did recently with the rest of the team is kind of walk through and discovered there are different phases, it seems, as parishes who are going to be committed go through when it comes to parish renewal or even diocesan renewal. Do you remember what the five phases were? Do you want to try to do that together now? Okay, what are they?
The first one is getting started.
Yes.
And that's when they decide, let's go. Yeah. And they hear about things, they see what's happening in their parish, and they think, we can't keep going as we are. Let's give something a crack. So right. They decide to start.
They commit. They launch.
Yeah, yeah, they do. And that launch is around starting a team, starting some kind of tool for evangelization, communicating to their parish maybe that they're going to go somewhere.
Right. Yeah. That's scary. Yeah. So what if I try it and it doesn't work? Like it takes a lot of courage to say, we're going to try something new because it matters. And we don't want to stay here. We want to go there. And to communicate that is always risky. And it's part of the startup or the launch phase. What's the next phase?
Well, the next phase is early wins. And that is just so exciting because they start to make new disciples with their evangelization tool. And they start to feel the energy and excitement as people start to get excited about Jesus.
Yes.
Hopefully the leadership teams as well. They're not just doing it for others. They're having that experience themselves, and it's really exciting. Like, this works.
You almost feel bulletproof in that phase. It's like, oh, this is awesome. This isn't so hard. This is great. Isn't this fun? And as lives change, it really ignites enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of times we can go to church for long periods of time and not see any lives change. It's almost like we don't expect lives to change. Mm-hmm. And then, but when we start to see it, it gives us, it fortifies our strength and our faith.
And during that phase too, the priests, often clergy, are seeing for the first time what it's like to lead out of a team and having people around him that share his vision and what a load that is off their shoulders sometimes because they're not the only one having to keep everything in their head and make all the decisions. So there's a euphoria in that too, I think.
So that phase lasts forever or what's the next phase?
No, the third phase is what we call the danger phase.
Yeah.
And that's when after those early wins and everything, teams start to have a little bit of they don't get on so well. Some of the personalities get a little bit stronger. Sometimes, you know, after a lot of their first few alphas, a lot of people have done them and maybe it starts to drop and they need to relook at how they're inviting. And yeah, that's a really hard phase.
Yeah, and people who all of a sudden see people really excited and change lives and you're giving testimony to that, they're feeling threatened. It's like, this doesn't feel Catholic. People are reading their Bible. That makes me feel awkward because we don't read Bibles around here. We're Catholic. And so there starts to be pushback and attack. And some of the people that may have been very faithful in the past and allies start to become enemies in some sense. They start to really push back and they write letters to the bishop and they start talking to people at other parishes and tell you how rotten things are. And there's be a lot of hurt feelings for pastors. They feel a lot of rejection and abandonment from people that have been longtime parishioners.
And even within the team sometimes.
And even within the team.
Some people in the team aren't as committed as we might have thought they were.
100%.
Or they just aren't prepared to persist and persist.
Yeah, so that danger zone, as we were talking here yesterday, somebody said, yeah, that's the cross. Mm. Now you're suffering. And when you're faced with suffering, you have a choice. Do you embrace the cross like Jesus did, or do you run the other way? You know, and that's a legitimate question. And that's, I think, really when your commitment is tested to transforming your parish for the purpose of mission and impact. Because you're not, you know, if you continue, will you have any friends? If you continue, will you have a church? If you continue, will you ever reach unity? And you don't know for sure what's going to happen if you gut this out. If you double down in your commitment, you don't know for sure. And so it can be very tempting to turn back and just make people happy and placate them and just make sure nobody's upset anymore. And that's a real temptation. But if they push through, what's the next phase?
Sustainable fruitfulness. Yeah, that's really good, isn't it? That's when things, it's the early wins a little bit, but it's more than that. It's we've created, we've been through the hard stuff and we've broken through the other side and we're out, we know we're together. We know that this is what we want. We're producing fruit. We have our systems and our structures
in place. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it's not hard work, but it feels as though, yes, we can keep doing this.
Yeah, there's a rhythm, isn't there? Yeah. And the sting of really hard pushback seems to be gone and doesn't ever fully go away. And it rears its ugly head once in a while. But then that's also when you're hiring new people into that. They just assume it's always been like this, like because it's a culture, like mission and evangelization and worship, robust worship. I mean, volunteering and giving, all that stuff just seems normal. Yeah. And anybody coming onto the staff at that point, they see problems. They don't see the problems and the hurdles you've overcome to get there. They just see new problems. They don't always appreciate that it was not always like this, which is okay. Like they can take a lot of things for granted. It's kind of like, you know, second generation immigrants, like they don't realize how much of a struggle and a journey and sacrifice was made leaving one country and coming, learning a new language and everything else. And these people, their kids just grow up in this place that's free and learn a new language, which is easier for them. And it becomes something that they take for granted. But that first generation is what really, you know, there was a lot that went into, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and risk went in from leaving oppression or war to finding peace and at a better way for their kids. And so, yeah, that sustainable fruitfulness is what everybody, there's a lot of wisdom in sustainable fruitfulness, isn't there? Like you say, it's like the early wins.
Challenge as well?
I think so. I think part of the challenge sometimes for sustainable fruitfulness can be boredom.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's like, you know, I know some people have great capacity. They almost blow up sustainable success because the consistency and the predictability of the systems and processes for some apostles particularly, they get bored. And so they can self-sabotage sometimes, even though it's the last thing they want to do. But a piece of them sometimes just seeks disorder because they like to bring order to disorder. Like, and so sometimes they blow stuff up. And so it's really hard to continue doing the right things over and over again. And sometimes in those cases, when we're coaching, we try to find other areas for innovation for those people because they need it. Mm. But don't find it in blowing up the things that are actually bringing people to Christ and giving the staff and the team the confidence of consistency they need to innovate and feel safe, right? Mm,
true, so true.
And then what's the final phase?
Generosity.
Yeah.
Intentional generosity.
Mm. What's that mean? Why would we say that?
Well, you've gone on this incredible journey and you're producing fruit. And whenever we fall in love with Jesus, we want to give it away. We've learned a way that our parish can become more fruitful. So we want other people to have this amazing experience. People in intentional generosity find ways to share what they're doing with other people and mentor parishes around them and tell their story. It's
always been our vision too, in terms of coaching, what we do. We stay with people for long periods of time because it's not about sharing information. It's about developing a friendship where we evolve with people through these phases. And I find as a coach, their needs change. And being generous has its own set of issues and problems and opportunities to explore. And so it's really fun. That's when you really become partners in impact. And then people don't need us per se as a ministry. They can really be blessed within the context of where they're at locally. And so I find as we stay with those churches through that process and continue to build that relationship, they're the ones that end up blessing the parishes around them. That was always my vision and hope for what we do. And so that's really fun.
Ron, what do you see with diocese when it comes to generosity?
Yeah, intentional generosity. Well, I think part of it is we're all figuring this out in real time. And so when I think about the diocese that we get to work with, they're doing incredible, innovative work, and we're trying to figure it out. I don't think anybody has the blueprint yet for something that is so easy to give away, but I think there are a lot of neat things that are happening. Like a lot of the work that we do, we're actually coaching into the coaches or coaching into the support staff that help parishes. And so I love that dioceses are doing that right now. But my hope is, and even when I think about our work here in Wollongong as we record this, is Bishop Brian has an amazing team around him.
He does, doesn't he?
He does. And to your point, they've been at this renewal process for a while. So I think they're a little further ahead than other places. And I hope as they continue to press into this pursuit, that they're going to take their learnings, and I hope they write a book, because that would be an incredibly generous gift to the church. Because I think particularly at the diocesan level, I don't think there's enough wins yet, big wins, that we can say we have a structure and a process. I think some of the work that we're doing with some of the dioceses, we're really excited about it, because we see patterns and opportunities to not do things in silos, but actually create momentum in learning and evolution and understanding, and align that with structure. And so I think there's some great work that we're able to do with people. And I think at some point that's going to translate to a book or two of things that work. And so I think that will be a generous thing. When I think about too, some of the conferences, that'd be really fun if we did some conferences that brought diocesan staff together and bishops, so that we could talk about these things with them. Because we're doing more and more diocesan work, and it's really a treat. That's actually one of the reasons we teamed up, is that so that I know your experience in the diocesan world too is just such a blessing as we work together in renewal, whether it's parishes or dioceses. And so I think there's a lot more intentional generosity to happen, but I don't know that anybody's in that sustainable fruitfulness phase as a diocese. I think they're in the launch and early win phases at best. Most of them.
One or two maybe in the danger
zone. And one or two in the danger zone, yeah. And so it's fun. So fun conversation. Neat, as we reflect on the different phases, and we're really hopeful for everything that happens here in Wollongong and other parts of Australia that we're working in. It's fun to work together.
Sure is. Ron, if there was a pastor or a leadership team interested in pursuing coaching with you, what would they do?
Yeah. Well, I often talk about coaching is, it's the hardest thing, but it's really, it's not, because we always meet people where they're at, whether we've coached people that haven't even formed a team yet and helped them form a team. We've coached people that didn't even have a parish yet. They're literally meeting in school halls and coached them through that. But we've also coached people who've been at this for a long time, but just feel stuck. And so I just suggest, if anybody's feeling a pull, that, you know what, I wonder if Huntley Leadership could be a blessing to where we're at, to kind of add some jet fuel to where we're going, to provide some insights and breakthroughs, then they can just reach out to us at huntleyleadership.com and start the conversation, you know, because we don't ever want to enter into those relationships if it's not going to create a win-win situation. And so I think we have enough experience, you know, connecting with people at different parts of the world, just asking the right questions and discerning with them where they're at, what they're willing to do, and really their level of desire to get there. But I always say, if people have the desire, the belief in Christ, and the desire that things could be better, those are our favorite people to work with. And so if anybody's in that boat and would like to have the conversation, they could just reach out to huntleyleadership.com, and either you or I will have that conversation with them as we help get them situated. I'd be interested in what your perspective is on today's episode. Thanks for following along. You're going to want to go over to our website at huntleyleadership.com and hit the subscribe button. We have some huge announcements coming out in 2024 that are going to be designed to help you be great. Thank you for all that you do. Continue to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. Until next time.
I want to encourage you, as you lead this week, be faithful to God and generous to others. See you next time. And remember, if you're still breathing, you are powered for impact.